KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And 8 o'clock, we have clear skies. It's 55 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 78. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A man from Cromwell reported to the Creston Police Department yesterday that someone had stolen several power tools from his vehicle. The theft occurred sometime between July 31st and August 3rd while the vehicle was parked at 902 North Sumner Avenue in Creston. The loss was estimated at just over $1,300. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, a Sioux City man accused of punching his 12-year-old son and assaulting other family members has been sentenced to 5 years in prison. Court records say that 36-year-old J.T. Ring pleaded guilty last month to child endangerment causing injury. Prosecutors dropped two related charges in exchange for Ring's plea. His plea agreement says the 5 years will be served at the same time he serves 15 years for a drunken driving conviction. Court records say his parole in the previous case has been revoked because of the assault case. There's a new policy in force at the Woodbury County Courthouse in Sioux City that limits who may carry weapons into the building. A new state law allows people with permits to carry concealed weapons in public buildings, but the Chief Justice of Iowa Supreme Court has declared that court-controlled areas in public buildings would remain weapons-free zones. In June, the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors voted to allow guns in the courthouse. Now this week, the Chief Judge in Iowa's 3rd Judicial District banned the public from bringing weapons into the courthouse in Sioux City, as well as the adjacent law enforcement center and the second floor of a nearby building where juvenile court hearings are held. Woodbury County Board of Supervisors Chairman Matthew Ung objects.
No one disputes the court's right and responsibility to secure and set policy for their courtroom. But when my courtroom becomes my 8-story courthouse and the law enforcement center and the second floor of Trosper Hoyt, you have judicial overreach.
Law enforcement officers and members of the military who are on duty will be allowed to carry weapons into the complex, but off-duty officials will have to surrender their weapons at the entrance. Ung objects to that as well.
I don't think law enforcement is ever off-duty, and indeed there are many cases where they have prevented crimes and saved lives, so I think to disarm people like that sends an extremely wrong message to our community.
And Ung says the issue is not on the Woodbury County Board of Supervisors' agenda for next Tuesday, but he says he wouldn't be surprised if someone files a lawsuit challenging this new policy. Nearly 300 members of the Sioux City's Iowa Air National Guard 185th Air Refueling Wing will be deployed overseas beginning in October. Colonel Larry Christensen, the base commander, says it's one of the largest deployments in recent history of the unit and involves two separate entities.
Usually we deploy the airplanes, the crews, and the maintenance. This is a little bit different deployment where we're deploying a lot of the support function. It'll be a lot of civil engineering, food service, communications, supplies, security forces. A lot of things that don't deal so much directly with the airplanes.
Senior Master Sergeant Ron Bennett says they'll start leaving in September and be stationed in countries like Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait.
By the time January of 2018 comes, all 200 will be in their deployed location to do their job for about 6 months deployed. And then they'll start cycling them back.
Members from the 133rd Test Squadron in Fort Dodge are also part of the deployment. Sergeant Bennett says another 100 airmen from the 185th Operations and Maintenance Groups will deploy for 30 to 120-day deployments to similar locations in the Persian Gulf and to support the continuous bomber presence in the Pacific at Anderson Air Force Base in Guam.
Basically, what they're going to be doing is the same job they do here on a weekend basis or when they come down here for their two-week annual training. U.S. Air Force requires the Air National Guard and the reserves to drop in amongst active duty members and do their standard job that they do when they come out here for their training.
Colonel Christensen says he greatly appreciates the Siouxland community who employ and support the Guard members.
This actually affects the whole entire community and their families. We are just extremely lucky to have the support that the Siouxland community and the families give to us, and they've done that for many, many years.
The 185th will continue to fly domestic missions as well, involving refueling, medical missions, and troop transports while their contingent is serving overseas. Bird watchers in the lower Luss Hills region may soon see a greater diversity of species. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources proposes a bird conservation area of nearly 90,000 acres. Such areas are created through a targeted effort on public and private lands to plant bird-friendly habitats. Bruce Ersman is a wildlife diversity bird specialist for the DNR.
You know, if you think about what Iowa looked like historically with about 27 or 28 million acres of prairie, it was a huge landscape of habitat. And we've carved that up into little teeny pieces, and we're trying to put back some of those pieces into larger pieces because they will benefit more species.
Erisman says this proposed bird conservation area in western Iowa is ecologically diverse.
We've documented 282 species that have occurred at one time or another within this proposed area. And of those, 128 are nesting species, which is actually may not sound like a high number, but it really is. And so a high proportion of those species that nest throughout the state actually nest in this one area.
If approved, the conservation area would be Iowa's 24th. Erisman says it will contain the most bird species of all the conservation areas in the state. An earthquake specialist at the University of Iowa says the quakes that have rattled Oklahoma this week adds to evidence that they're all tied to human activity. Bill Barnhart, an assistant professor in the UI Department of Earth and Environmental Sciences, says earthquakes in Oklahoma picked up dramatically after 2008 as oil drilling and fracking operations started injecting wastewater into the ground.
So operators there will inject wastewater at depth to sequester it so that it doesn't get into aquifers or into the surface water. But that has the incidental effect of making faults that exist down there weak. And when faults become weak, they can produce earthquakes.
At least a half a dozen relatively small earthquakes between magnitude 2.6 and 4.2 struck central Oklahoma between Tuesday night and early Thursday morning. The damage has included cracked floors and walls and household items knocked off shelves and counters. Just over a year ago, an earthquake in Oklahoma was felt here in Atlantic, other parts of Iowa, and the Midwest.
In September of 2016, there was a magnitude 5.8 earthquake near the town of Pawnee, Oklahoma, that was widely felt throughout Iowa. It didn't cause any damage, but it was felt.
To date, there have been no induced earthquakes in Iowa like the ones in Oklahoma and other states such as Kansas and Colorado.
So the greatest risk to Iowans is if a large earthquake happens in one of these areas, there could be potential shaking impacts here.
Regulators in Oklahoma introduced new restrictions on wastewater injections in May of last year. Quakes in the state have become less frequent since those changes were put into effect. And for the 18th straight year, Iowans can take advantage of tax-free shopping on certain items today and tomorrow. Nicole Watson at the Iowa Department of Revenue says the annual sales tax holiday is a time to save cash, especially for parents who are stocking up on their kids' school clothes.
It's a very limited opportunity for folks as they get ready to head back to school to save paying sales tax on clothing items. And they're intended to be any article of clothing or apparel and footwear that is worn and is under $100.
Watson says the tax-free shopping period is popular with shoppers and merchants statewide.
We measure, I guess, success on the number of taxpayers that take advantage of it. Our most recent information dates from August 2015, where an estimated amount of $60 million in sales were exempted during the sales tax holiday. So quite a lot.
The Iowa Department of Revenue website details what items will be tax-free and what ones aren't during the two-day period.
With clothing items like shoes, pants, T-shirts, you know, kind of your general back-to-school clothing items are covered. Things that aren't covered are going to be, you know, accessories, backpacks, things that aren't actually clothing.
Other tax-exempt items include caps and hats, socks, underclothing, uniforms for work and school, coats, bathing suits, leotards and tights, along with costumes and diapers. Other items that will still be taxed include computers, school supplies, jewelry, fabric, athletic clothing, and athletic footwear not usually associated with everyday wear. The holiday runs from 12:01 a.m. today until 11:59 p.m. on Saturday. For more information, go to tax.iowa.gov. That is a check of our news this morning here on KJAN, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.